You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Mark Price, producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone right now, Stuart Dunnings III, Ingham County Prosecutor. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us tonight. When I had a few minutes to give you a call a couple days ago to try to set this up, the subject I wanted to talk to you about is the gentleman who was shot and killed last Saturday, a week ago, in an incident that was reported to police as a home invasion. Obviously, you can't discuss the case. It hasn't come to you yet. We spoke with Lieutenant Noel Garcia with the Lansing Police Department last night, and he said the packet would probably be coming to your office next week to see if there might be any charges issued. We can't talk about that case specifically, but in general, I wanted to talk about where you start in the process you go to determine in a case theoretically like this if charges would be pressed against the person who did the shooting in their own home.
Well, the place we start is the police investigation. The first step is to determine factually as best we can what happened, who were the parties, what was their relationship, if either party was acting within or without the law. So the first thing is to establish the facts.
Mm-hmm. The reason this came up and I guess kind of stuck with me a little bit and I'm watching it is I have just, Mr. Dunnings, gone through the classes to get a concealed pistol license. And in studying all of that and the information, you read something like this, and then frankly, it's scary to think if someone. And again, we're not specifically talking about this case. This was just the jumping off point. If someone comes into your home, and a shooting should occur, you know, oh my, you might be facing something like this.
Well, again, it's going to be fact specific, but quite frankly, generally, the law is on the side of the homeowner. But again, you have to look at the facts. They're relationships between the parties can make a difference. The legislature passed a law that went into effect in 2006, which codified the use of deadly force both within and without the home. It kind of went a little bit further than the case law that it established deadly force from when the law was brought over from England. So it wasn't a radical change, but it did expand an individual's right to use force in their protection of themselves and others.
Was this this expansion of the Castle Doctrine, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Some people have referred to it as a Castle Doctrine law. It's formally entitled the Self-Defense Act.
And that would you mind explaining what that is in layman's terms for folks?
What the law is?
Yeah, what the Castle Doctrine is kind of about.
It generally says that if an individual is in their home and they're defending their home, that they have a right to use force up into and including deadly force, and they have no right to retreat if they are in their home.
Mm-hmm. And the 2006... go ahead.
Says the individual against whom deadly force or force other than deadly force is used is in the process of breaking and entering a dwelling or business premises or committing home invasion or has broken and entered a dwelling or business premises or committed home invasion and is still present in the dwelling, etc. Now, one important exception to that is if the individual who is using deadly force uses it against an individual with whom it was for their former spouse, and that individual, or dating relationship, or parent of their child, and the person using deadly force has a prior history of domestic violence. In that case, the law may not be on the side of the individual.
Oh, okay, yeah, clearly. So, what you just read is relating to a stranger coming to the home or trying to enter the home, and so forth.
You mean the first part?
Yes.
Yeah, well, could be anybody. Could be a stranger. Could I mean, a lot of crime happens between people who know each other.
But not a necessarily domestic relationship. That's
right.
What can separate it.
Right.
And in the 2006, when things changed, the new law that expanded it, that law gave you the right to use force and not retreat to any locale, not just one's home. And that's where the difference came in a little bit.
Correct.
Okay.
But you have to understand that the use of force, that the measure is whether or not the use was reasonable and the person had an honest belief. So, and that is not a subjective standard, but an objective standard. And by that I mean, let's say a 5-year-old's coming at me with a knife, and for whatever reason, in my mind, I honestly believe that this person is presenting a deadly threat to me and I use deadly force. Well, most people looking at this are going to say, that wasn't reasonable, and so I would be liable, even though myself I believed I wasn't in danger. See what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and just to expand on what you said, and I wanted to get the phrase in there that it stipulates that someone could use force as long as, and the quote was, honestly and reasonably believed that force was necessary to prevent imminent death, bodily harm, or sexual assault.
Correct.
So,
but that, again, that's an objective standard. That's mm-hmm. not, you know, a person can maybe believe those things and be wrong because other people looking at it would say, hey, you know, that's not reasonable.
And I was talking with a gentleman yesterday who actually had taught me the class for the concealed pistol license, and we used there was a phrase called the reasonable man standard.
Right.
And maybe you could expand on that a little bit, what that is.
Well, that's the objective standard that I'm talking about. Would reasonable people looking at this situation come to a particular conclusion? That might be different than the conclusion that the particular individual who's using the force came to.
It's an interesting this case in particular is interesting, and the idea of self-protection in general. What I did learn taking this class is there's a huge amount of responsibility that comes along with owning a gun, having it in your home, and certainly with carrying a concealed pistol. And I know your office deals with that every day.
Oh yeah, you know, I would encourage anybody that has a weapon, whether they want a concealed permit or not, to take the classes. I've taken the classes myself.
Yeah, I took it in December, and it was a 13-hour class, sir, and I learned a lot, and it certainly was thought-provoking generally in protecting oneself and family and home, and certainly the responsibility that comes along with having a pistol or having a gun in your home. There's a lot to think about when you take on that responsibility.
Yes, and that's why I think that, you know, it would be advisable for anybody who has a weapon in their home, or whether they're going to ask for a concealed permit or not, to take the classes, because I don't think a lot of people really give it the thought of what it means to have a weapon.
Yeah, it's an amazing responsibility, and it's certainly something to learn about. I appreciate your time this evening. We'll be following this case, and again, I appreciate your time joining us this evening and kind of helping us through the process and what you're taking a look at in making decisions in your office.
No problem, Cheryl. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Stuart. Have a great weekend.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Been talking with Stuart Dunnings of the 3rd Ingham County Prosecutor, and we'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after these messages.